Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Good evening and welcome along to The Score with myself, Dermot Doherty. We have another packed weekend of sporting action up ahead, and between now and 8 o'clock we'll preview some of the big games taking place. Hopefully you can stay with us as we look ahead to what's another busy few days. The weather forecast, unfortunately, not too good, especially on Saturday. There's a wind warning in place for here in the northwest, so much so that we've got one big casualty on the sports front already. Dunfanaghy Golf Club have taken the decision to cancel this coming Saturday's McGinley Motors Senior and Intermediate Scratch Cup event. That popular golf tournament will now take place on Saturday, September the 7th, and the timesheet for that event is now open for early bookings. But there's plenty more sport happening other than that. Coming up later on, we'll have our Gaelic Games preview and we'll hear from Michael Boyle, the London coach whose side play Galway in the Connacht Championship this weekend. There's ladies Gaelic Games as well, but we're going to kick off this evening with soccer and the League of Ireland. Ex-Finn Harps assistant manager William O'Connor will be in the opposite dugout on Friday evening at Finn Park as he takes his UCD side to Balbuffet in search of 3 points in the SSE Airtricity League First Division. The Buncrana man more than happy with how his team have started the season, and even after a tough start, well, UCD sit third in the table. O'Connor is relishing the opportunity to return to Finn Park, but is ready for a tough battle as he says Harps are absolutely flying. The UCD boss has been speaking with Highland Radio's Chris Ashmore this week.
William O'Connor, delighted you can join us on the programme. You're in charge of the UCD side, having taken over from Andy Myler. And, you know, before we look at the current season, that whole involvement within the club, I think it was last September when it was announced that Andy was not going to be in charge this season and you were. So was it a fairly seamless transition?
No, it was fairly straightforward. There are no real major changes, even in terms of the staff and stuff. They're all staff that were within the club, maybe just a few promoted. And also, again, some of the players, I know some of them only came in halfway through last season, so the squad and the staff were fairly familiar. And it was a straightforward transition, for sure.
And then, after the club being relegated, a bit of movement of players during the closed season. You got Ronan Finn back, a hugely influential player who has played right at the top level. But unfortunately for you, he's been on the injury bench, on injury list for a while.
Yeah, there's been a big change. A lot of the players over the last few years were kind of coming towards the end of their course, which that's kind of the way the cycle down there down here works. They would towards the end of the cycle, you nearly the last, that's where you kind of pushing towards a promotion, and then they move on. So this year now would be a lot of first year players. They'd all be very, very young, very good players, but still very, very young. Yeah, we signed Ronan, who gives us that bit of experience. It's something probably that we've thought about over the last 3 or 4 years, that it's something that we needed, just in terms of game management on the pitch, and again, the quality and standards of training and demanding more off each other, all that kind of side of the game off the pitch is really, really important. And he's been incredible since he's been in there. Even he's out injured now, as you were saying, probably been another few weeks as well before he's back. He got injured in the second game, but still, even being around there and managing the lads and talking to them, even on the training pitch and stuff like that, he's a big, big impact, and he's brilliant for us to have.
So the season so far, William, you beat Bray in the opening game. You had a tough opening because then you had matches against Treaty and Cork, losing 1-0 in both of those, a defeat against Wexford. But since then, you've been on a little bit of a roll, three wins and then a draw last week with a Kerry side that, it must be said, are improving. So the trend has been upwards.
Yeah, we're gradually improving. Again, we had a tough start. Even you had Wexford on the Treaty, Cork and Bray. It's four tough games to start off with. with a great result in Bray, and then the next three, we kind of, those first four games were good a week, bad a week, good a week, bad a week. Even down in Clark, we were very good, but didn't get the result that we probably should have. And the other 2 weeks, we probably were a bit off it. And I think looking for that bit of consistency, that's what we've been focusing on over the last few weeks, or even from them early stages. And then the last three or four games, we've got that bit of consistency. Maybe dropped off a bit there on Monday, but that's understandable with the Monday fixture. So, the results have improved a good bit over the last few weeks, but I still think there's a lot of improvement in the squad and in the players, and I think we can get better as the season goes on.
Now, the first series of games for most of the clubs in the First Division comes to an end this coming weekend, and your opposition for the first time this season is Finn Harps. They've made a very good start to the season, so no doubt you're expecting a tough game.
Yeah, they're absolutely flying and doing really well. Even that the last two results, if you look at them, away to Treaty, who were unbeaten, I think, before that game, and then even home to Bray. And I know the results aren't going for Bray, but they're a really good side. And so those two results and all the results so far, they've been doing really, really well. It'll be a really, really tough game, tough opposition for us on Friday, and we know that. We know it's going to be a battle, and we know we have to get everything right on Friday to come away with the right result.
And you've been involved in quite a lot of Harps ECD games over the years. Certainly you'd remember a few alongside Ollie Horgan, particularly at the UCD Bowl. There's never really much between the sides.
No, it was always a good battle between the two teams. I think it was early doors, it was us, Fun Harps and UCD going for the title. I think UCD pipped Fun Harps, but Fun Harps came up in the playoff, and then you would have had each other in the Premier Division, so that kind of up and down, and it always seemed to be them for a few years. But no, there was never too much in it. It was always an even enough game, and I'd imagine Friday will be the same.
Yeah. Now, looking at the First Division as it stands, Cork on top, no surprise there. Would you go along with the general view that Cork will be or should be the table toppers, and after that, pretty much everybody else is going to be scrapping for those other relegation or those other promotion playoff spots?
Listen, Cork are the big favourites, and there's a good chance that they won it, but I wouldn't go as far as saying they'll definitely win it in that first round of fixtures. I think they might have drawn three or four games, so they're not really getting any games easy. I think they won two or three as well by a goal, by a set piece. So they're big favourites to win it, but I wouldn't say they'll walk it. I do think the team, three or four teams below that, can maybe, if they can stay with them for the next round of games, and maybe you wouldn't know what would happen after that. But it's probably on the three or four below them to see can they stay with them, because they have got the results. Although they won those games by that dog goal, they're still winning them, which is the important part. But I still don't think they're nailed on search to go and walk it. I still think there's other teams that can have a say in it as well.
And how important is it for UCD to be playing in the top flight as opposed to the second tier?
I wouldn't say that it's massive important. Obviously, it's where everybody wants to be. Managers, players, staff, clubs, everything. It's all the Premier Division is the target for everyone. But I wouldn't say it's do or die in our terms of that we have to be in the Premier Division. We're very much a player development model, and probably it does some of the young players coming in the first year, it does them no harm. They get a year or two playing men's football in the First Division, because the Premier Division is so tough. It's for their development, like attackers would need more of the ball. They try and beat men, they try and get goals, get assists, and get that bit of confidence and belief in themselves, where it's much harder to get that in the Premier Division.
Yes.
So now the First Division is very good for their development as well, but ultimately the Premier Division ends where they challenge themselves and see where they're at as a player, and ultimately that's the target that everybody wants. That's the target where everybody wants to be.
And down through the years, UCD have had a smattering of Donegal players. What's the situation within the club at the moment?
Yeah, it's actually quieter than normal at the moment. I think it's just myself, but over the last probably 3 or 4 years there, we've had big numbers. It's just the way it goes as well, in terms of people applying and getting into college. We're all college now this year. All players are in college. So again, maybe hopefully there'll be a few more down in the next few years.
Yeah, and UCD are unique in many ways, and one of them being you do tend to have that little bit of a transition as the season goes on. Is that likely to happen again this year, that come the summer you'll see some players moving on?
No. Everybody there now will be there for the next probably 3 to 4 years. As I was saying, a lot of our players are in first year this year. I think we had 13 of them, 13 of the first team squad at the Harding Cup, which is a first year university competition. So, maybe one, two max that are finishing up, but the rest of them, the whole nucleus of the squad will be there for the next probably 4 years, I would imagine, and that's more or less the start of the cycle now that I was saying earlier on there, that they're all in first year, three to four year courses, and they should be around for that duration.
So from your point of view, that's obviously better because you should be working with them over a period of time and there can be a real plan in place.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the model. That's how the club works. These lads come in there, you work with them, try and develop them, and try and see how far you can go as a team, but also for them individually and their own career. So it's that development part for them. And it's great then that you have these players for the 3 or 4 years. You're not like after the first year trying to go out and recruit a whole new team. You know the team's there. You'll add two or three, or I say there maybe two might leave, but then you'll get two or three coming in on scholarship next year. But overall, you've the main core, the team will still be there, and you've got that to work with, which is a massive plus.
And finally, William, you've been involved with Harps. Prior to that, Cockhill Celtic, the Irish schoolboys set up Shelburne under-19 manager. You've seen a lot of football. How do you rate the League of Ireland at the moment in both the Premier and Division 1? There seems to be a very much an upward trajectory. Would you go along with that things are going in the right direction?
Yeah, you need that in the Inishowen Academy as well there, because Dermot O'Brien doesn't like you leaving it out. But no, listen, I think it's things are progressing really, really well. I think when you look at the crowds and all that kind of stuff that are coming to the games, I think the quality of the football now is improving, and it's definitely on the way up. But I think it still can go a lot higher, and it's up to everybody involved to keep on pushing it and make it that better product for the good of everybody and for good of everybody involved in football and for young people coming through. That the better that is, the better chances and opportunities they're getting, and the more we create that top class environment is better for all the young people coming through over the next few years.
And fair to say, come the business end of the season, you'll be hoping that both yourselves and Harps are knocking at the door.
Exactly. Again, it's the first fixture you look for whenever the fixtures come out, and then it's the last one that you'll play. But obviously you wish for Harps the very best, but maybe not on Friday night. But it's great to see them back up and doing well and going strong.
That's William O'Connor there in conversation with Chris Ashmore. William, very much part of the managerial setup at Finn Park for so many years, now in charge at UCD. And always good to hear from William. By the way, that interview took place prior to Harps announcing the change in kickoff time for tomorrow night's game. Remember, it's a 5 o'clock start now due to those issues with the floodlights at Finn Park. So get along early there if you can. So that match, 1 of 5 in the First Division tomorrow. Cork City play Cove Ramblers in a Cork Derby. That's at 7:45 at Turner's Cross. That's perhaps the big game in the First Division tomorrow night. Although Harps against UCD, second against third, of course, also of huge importance there. In the Premier Division, 4 matches tomorrow night, including Derry City at home to Dundalk. Dundalk, of course, still seeking their first win of the season. They sit bottom of the Premier Division after a more than sluggish start to their campaign. That game's at 7:45. The other matches in the top division, Bowes against Waterford, Drogheda against the leader Shells, and the big game of the night is at Richmond Park, where St. Pat's play host to Shamrock Rovers. Now, Cockhill Celtic are one win away from creating history and becoming the first side from Inishowen to reach the final of the FAI Junior Cup. They face Pike Rovers in Limerick at the semi-final stage on Sunday afternoon. That game is at 1 o'clock at Jackman Park, and we'll have updates on Highland with Tom Clancy. Cockhill's campaign to date has seen them cruise through the rounds, but Sunday's opposition is expected to be the toughest so far for last year's beaten FAI Intermediate Cup finalists. After that disappointing defeat, Cockhill dropped to the junior ranks as the Ulster Senior League came to an end. The Junior Cup was no doubt on the Cockhill hit list, and as manager Gavin Cullen has been telling Oisin Kelly, if they are to make the final, it's going to take a big shift on the road.
So, Gavin, the big games keep coming for Coghill Celtic, and no doubt the biggest one of the year so far against Pike Rovers. What's the preparation been like for you guys over the last couple of weeks as you head to this game in Limerick at the weekend?
Yeah, no, it's been good. We've had a lot of games over the last 3-4 weeks, a lot of good tests, a lot of big games. Last weekend we played Friday, Sunday, so we'd use the squad as best we can. Thankfully, we got through the two games with two wins. So we're hoping to have an almost fully fit squad of the weekend. There's a doubt over Jay Bradley and Adam McLaughlin's definitely out. Other than that, hopefully everybody will be fitting around to go come the weekend.
And it's a game that you need everybody fit and available for. Is it fair to say that this is going to be probably your biggest test in the FAI Junior Cup this year?
There's no doubt about it. We've done really well so far. We've came through most of the games with flying colours. We've performed really well in this competition. We've had some good results away to Clonmel Celtic in the last round. I thought we were excellent in the game, and the game before that at home to Marie Aramore again, I thought we were very, very good on the day. So we've been really good and really solid in all the games in the competition. The stage of any national competition, it is going to be a step up, and I think the sides left in it are all very, very, very high calibre.
Yeah, I'm sure you've got your homework done at this stage on Pike, do you?
Yeah. I've watched a few videos and had them watched and stuff like that. So, look, I've got as much information as I can give to the lads as we normally would in game. Look, what you can do is, again, prepare ourselves properly, give the snippets of information to the players come the weekend, and then hopefully we can do our jobs and get the right result.
Yeah. Is there any pressure with it now at this stage of the season, Gavin? Obviously, you're down to the business end, but no one in Sean's side has ever reached the final of the FAI Junior Cup, and I'm sure you heard that a lot over the last couple of weeks. So as you go into this game, is there any sort of pressure around the environment at the minute?
Well, it's no more pressure than we put on ourselves. Obviously, with no one in Sean's side ever getting to the finalist competition, it would be a milestone and an achievement in itself to get there. The same way as it was this time last year in the Media Cup, we went to Cork at the Ringman, the semi-final, no one actually one side has ever got to the final of the FAI Intermediate Cup, which we went and done. So look, it'll be an absolute brilliant achievement for this group of players to be the same team, the same squad that actually achieved both milestones and achieved both things for the very first time. It's a wee bit surprising, that a national club hasn't. Like, it's 100 years of this competition. I think it was 1967, and it was actually Finn Harps were the last Donegal side to get to the final of this cup. So it's a long time coming. So I don't think it adds pressure to us because, look, we'll be focusing on ourselves, and we have a lot of belief in our own group and our own players and what we have achieved so far and what we can achieve. So, look, the pressure will come from ourselves rather than the thoughts of being the first national team to qualify.
Yeah, listen, there's no doubt that it would be a momentous occasion to make the final, but off the back of last year, do you still use that hurt as motivation for success this year, Gavin?
I don't think we use it that hurt. I think it's more the belief that it gives you. Pete, like, over the last four seasons, we've got the two FAI Intermediate Cup quarterfinals and one Intermediate Cup final, and now obviously an FAI Junior Cup semifinal. So the consistency levels are there. We know we're as good as anybody in the country at amateur level. The results don't lie. You know, it's proven year in, year out that we're thereabouts. So look, that gives you a belief that you can compete with the best in the country, and I do believe we are. Like, even in terms of when I talk to people that, you know, say in Limerick or in Clonmel, Tipperary in the last round, like, you know, they're able to tell me and talk to me about our players and actual, you know, the quality within our squad. So, you know, we're being talked about around the country, which, look, is a testament to the players as well, testament to what we've been doing as well, that they're individually naming the players and where they play and what their strengths and weaknesses are. So, look, that's a great sign for us. So it tells us we're doing something right, and I think hopefully what we bring from last year is a belief that we can go and do it again, you know.
Yeah. Listen, as you know as well, anything can happen in a cup match. It could develop that spot kicks would be required if Coghill is going to end up in the final of the competition. Do you bear that in mind as you prepare for the game, Gavin?
Yeah, sort of do in the back of your head, but hopefully not. We've lost our last two penalty kick competitions. It's only two games we've lost in the last 12 months. So it's one of them things. We'd rather not go there, but if we have to, we'd have a belief. Like with Harry and Nets, with the players that we have at our disposal, that whatever it takes to win the game, we'll take it, you know. And if it takes going to penalties and going the whole way and we win the game, then so be it, you know.
Well, listen, it's a busy weekend. You're obviously going to head away early on Saturday, the day before the game on Sunday. But before that, the club has a civic reception at County House in Lifford for the success of the first team down through the years, which is a nice honour to get, Gavin.
Oh, absolutely. Look, it's we suppose we were contacted with the council from the Donegal County Council about maybe 6 months ago now to offer us a civic reception. I'm not exactly sure what it entails, but it sounds like it's a fairly good big honour. So, look, again, it's a testament to the players and the squad and the achievements throughout the last probably 10 years, to be honest. So look, we'll take every accolade we can get, and as I say, it's there's not many football teams or football clubs that have received this award over the years. So look, we're looking forward to it tomorrow night. And again, it's setting us up nicely for the start of the weekend, you know.
Yeah. Also, tomorrow Friday, your buddy William O'Connor's back in the county. He of course is manager of UCD, and we're hearing from him tonight on the Score programme as well. It's a big game for Harps tomorrow, and with the game being brought forward to 5 o'clock with these floodlight issues, it's sort of taken away over the last 24 hours on how the team have been performing this year, because it's been a fantastic opening of the campaign, Gavin, for Harps, and in particular over the last few weeks.
Oh, absolutely. I suppose with this fixture, I was looking forward to it myself, going to the game and seeing Williams' team playing against Harps and seeing two teams that are actually going very well. But obviously now the game moved to 5 o'clock and the civic reception, we can't go. So it's a bit disappointing that way. Again, that's a negative that really wasn't needed for Fun Harps at this point, because the way they've started the season on the pitch and it's been really positive, and they're a point off Cork at the top, and they're unbeaten in quite a few games, and they're keeping clean sheets, and they're actually playing really well. So obviously they'll be looking to continue that come Friday night, and UCD will be looking to try to catch the top two at the minute and reel them back in again, which at the beginning of the season UCD are probably one of the favourites to go back up as well. So look, it's an interesting one, and knowing William, he'll be doing all he can to try and get the right result for his team, and he'll be leaving no stone unturned, I'm sure.
Yeah, another big game for Harps tomorrow. Once again, that one starts at 5 o'clock. Derry slipped up against Galway in recent weeks, Gavin, but they bounced back well against Shelburne, and they'll be looking to continue that now with a victory, get back to winning ways at home to Dundalk on Friday night.
Yeah, I think look, they're sitting third in the table, but they've lost two of their last five, and drawn two. The Derry will really they're 8 points off Shelburne at the minute. The Shamrock Rovers had a poor start to the season, but they're actually back up now, level on points with Derry with a game in hand. So, I think Derry will be disappointed on the whole with the way they started the season, having only 3 wins out of their first 8 games isn't a brilliant return for a team that should be in. Probably still will be, but up there challenging right as the season goes on. They'll be fully expected to go and get the 3 points against a struggling Dundalk this weekend.
Yeah, but if them results don't keep coming over the next couple of weeks, all of a sudden there's lots of pressure been heaped on the Brandywell side, so there is.
There's bound to be. I'd say there's pressure all the time with obviously the resources and what's been put into that squad and that team. I think the levels of expectation are through the roof at Derry at the minute. So like any slip ups, any poor run of results is going to add pressure to the staff, the players, the management and stuff like that. So I'd say they're feeling it already, to be totally honest.
Yeah.
But I'd say they've got a good enough fixture this weekend to try and get 3 points.
Mm. Well, listen, we wait to see how the League of Ireland games pan out. But more pressing from your side of the dressing room, Gavin, you've got a huge game on Sunday against Pike Rovers in the FAI Junior Cup. And listen, it seems to me, because I know we've been speaking to Peter Doherty this week as well, it seems to be that everybody at the club, particularly the players, are really, really looking forward to getting stuck into this tie.
Oh, they are. Like big games, and thankfully we get involved in a lot of big games. The players love them. The players really step up to it. I think it's easier to play in a big game sometimes than it is a game that sort of means nothing or you're playing out of season. As I said to them in the dressing room, I think it was in one of the last games we've played, you know, would you rather be in, at this point where you're in most competitions at the business end, or would you be rather playing out of season and struggling to put out a team and players not losing interest or whatever? Like, there's a big, big difference, and thankfully, you know, we're thereabouts again, and you can see the players champing the bit. You can see the players looking to play and train and looking forward to each game. So that's a huge plus for us, and hopefully we can take it into the weekend for sure.
Okay, listen, Gavin, thanks for taking the call, and the best of luck this weekend in the Cup semi-final.
Thanks very much, Oisín. Good man.
That's Coghill Celtic manager Gavin Cullen speaking to Oisín Kelly. That game on Sunday is at 1 o'clock at Jackman Park down in Limerick. Tom Clancy will have updates on Highland. And by the way, that Harps game against UCD tomorrow evening, the earlier kickoff time, remember, is 5 o'clock. And again, we'll have updates on Friday evening from that one. We're going to go for a quick break.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to The Score. Now, just a reminder that due to a yellow wind warning alert for Donegal this Saturday, Dunfanaghy Golf Club have taken the decision to cancel this Saturday's McGinley Motors Senior and Intermediate Scratch Cup. The popular event will now take place on Saturday, September the 7th. The timesheet for the event is now open for early bookings. Back to the football, just briefly, the Inishowen Football League, there's one big game in the Jaggy Cross and Premier Division on Friday evening, Aileach against Buncrana Hearts. That kicks off at 7:45. And one of the form teams in the Inishowen League this season has been Redcastle United. They have clinched promotion back to the Premier Division after winning the Strand Hotel Division 1 in some style. And this weekend, they continue on the trail of Cup silverware when they play Rosheenie in the semi-final of the Charlie O'Donnell Cup. A short time ago, I got speaking to Cathal Faulkner, the Redcastle manager, who underlined the importance of getting back into the top division in Inishowen.
Yeah, it's good to get back up there, Dermot. It's been a long year. We've had a 20-game season this year with 11 teams in our division, so it was it's been a long old slog, but we're glad to get there. You know, a few games to play when we had won, so yeah, nice to win it, get it put to bed, and looking forward to getting back up there, yeah.
Yeah, because Redcastle, I mean, a club with a proud tradition in Inishowen football. Cathal, you were in the Premier Division for so many years. You came down, what, 4 or 5 years ago, and it's taken a while to get back, hasn't it? It shows that that's never just straightforward, never easy.
Oh, definitely not. Like, it's a tough division to be in, the Premier. It's a tough division to stay in, and even when you come down, there's a lot of good teams in the first division on Inishowen. I don't think many teams come down and bounce back up in 1 year. It's a tough ask. Same for ourselves. We came down probably 5 years ago now, and it took a few years to get everything back in order the way we needed it to be, you know, to go back up. And I think the timing's probably good for us now at the moment to be going back up and the position we are after being down here for a few seasons.
Yeah, and is that because you've now assembled a squad that has got enough experience in there, plenty of quality as well, and I suppose more importantly, good players coming through, Cal?
Yeah, I definitely. Look, it doesn't happen overnight. Say the last few years we had success in cups, and we always had in the back of our mind to want to win the first division, and not just won it. Like, I think you have to be consistent on your league to go up to the Premier Division and on Inishowen. You need to be dominating the first division to a degree, and I say that's been the case. And say that the last few years, one in league or one in cups, definitely put us in the right frame of mind and give the boys experience of getting ones and how to win. And plus, as you say, there's some young lads coming through at the club as well that are to get onto the first team, and success breeds success, I think, you know, and in case that we've got a reserve team where they want them to push and get onto the first team, you know.
Yeah, and when the first team is doing well, Cathal, it generates so much interest and a great buzz around the club. Yous are back in action this weekend now, and it's a cup semi-final, another big game in the Charlie O'Donnell Cup. Rashini,
yep.
I would imagine Redcastle will be favourites for this one, but this is not going to be an easy one.
Look, favourites is we get that for a reason, but it doesn't really mean a lot. We've probably the last two or three cup finals we've been on, we were on as underdogs, and we've so, you know, cup football is completely different to league football. On the day, who turns up and who wants it, you know. So, and Rashini, we're definitely expecting Rashini. They probably maybe had a slow start. They themselves came up last year from the reserve division, and probably it does take a while to adjust. And recent times have been going good, you know. So I'm definitely expecting a game from the Moneyhow. Yeah.
That's Redcastle United manager Cathal Faulkner in the Donegal League this evening. Match just underway. Convoy Arsenal against Bunnygee United, 7:30 start there. And a couple of big games this weekend as well. Perhaps none more so than Fannin United against Swilly Rovers in the Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division. 1 o'clock start down at Trialla. Fannin will be crown champions if they avoid defeat in that game. In the Temple Domestic Appliances Division 1, Donegal Town play Lagan Harps. Letterkenny Rovers host Cranford United. A win for Rovers in that one would be enough to see the promotion to the Premier Division. Now, in Gaelic games, London start their Connacht Championship campaign on Saturday in Ruislip against Galway and have 9 players from Donegal involved in their panel. The squad also includes 3 Derrymen and 2 Tyrone natives. So plenty of Northwest interest in the London squad, and they are under no illusion of the task at hand. And having just missed out on the quarterfinals of the Talton Cup last year, their target is progression in the second tier competition down the line. Tierman man Michael Boyle coached Gweedore to Donegal and Ulster senior titles back in 2017, and he has been involved at club and county level in London since his move there a number of years ago. This year, Boyle is coaching under manager Michael Maher, and he has been telling Highlands Oisin Kelly what they're looking to achieve in this year's championship.
Obviously a big game coming up this weekend, and there's 9 Donegal players involved, 3 from Derry and 2 from Tyrone. So you've got a massive contingent of players from the northwest of Ireland involved in your side here.
Yeah, we do. I suppose it's just the nature of the involvement of the clubs over here. A lot of them are northern based, and then there's probably a huge construction industry over here that a lot of the players are working in. So a lot of them travel over from Northern Ireland, a lot of the companies and stuff. So that's where the association comes from. And a lot of the West of Ireland as well, just the immigration from the West of Ireland. We've picked up a lot of players from that too. So, it's a good group of lads, and a load of Northern lads as well.
Listen, Michael, you've a lot of players, as we said, from the Northwest involved, and a lot of these players have played inter-county football at some stage in their career at some age level. Like 2 Tyrone players are involved, Matthew Walsh and Keelan Mulgrew. 3 from Derry, Oran Kerr, Rory Rafferty and Ryan Toole. And as we said, 9 from Donegal, who again have played either inter-county football at some stage and that have actually won championships at some level with their club. The likes of Kieran Diver Maville from Neve Colin Kill, 2 players, Daniel Clark and Michael Lynch, also from Convoy, Patrick Dolan and Joseph McGill. Now, Ross's Sean McMonagall, of course, was involved with the Letcher side that tasted success last year. Terman's Nathan McIlwain, and 2 players who have won senior championship medals with their clubs, Gudor's Micheál Carroll and St Union's Michael Miller.
Yeah, look, a good quality player. The majority, as you said, played underage football for Donegal, and some of the other lads from other counties have all played underage football for their respective counties as well. So, there's been probably an influx of players to London over the last couple of years, especially from Donegal. I think we've got 9 involved. So it's just great to have that familiarity for the lads. And obviously, me knowing the lads personally as well, I know what they can bring to the table for us. Yeah. So it was good for us to get them all on board this year. Yeah. And it'll benefit all their clubs as well, especially all the other clubs that are involved too.
Yeah.
So it's a good level of football to be playing.
What's the commitment like from the group at the moment? Obviously, heading into championship, you're away from home, but listen, this is still inter-county Gaelic football, so it is, Michael.
Yeah, no, that's obviously the biggest challenge in London is just it's the logistical side of things and getting the group together on a weekly basis. But I have to say that it's just been a brilliant group to be involved in. They go to the gym on a Monday night in West London, and we train on a Tuesday and Thursday night in West London. They do a gym session on their own on a Wednesday, and then we're on the pitch again at the weekend if we're not playing a match or we're not travelling back to Ireland maybe for a Sunday game on a Saturday morning or for a Saturday game on a Friday evening. So that's kind of the general makeup of our week. So they're working together mainly every night of the week, bar a Wednesday where they do their own gym session in their own locality. But the group itself have put in a massive effort this year. Look, we have seen the benefits. We've seen the lads come on in terms of their performance and definitely physically we've seen them come on as well with the S&C crowd that we're working with currently.
Yeah, and you can see improvement from where yous were in 2023. Yes, you may have finished second from bottom in Division 4 of the league, but was there vast improvements there from the previous year, Michael?
Okay, we also have a management team. We definitely look at it and we would have been disappointed with different stages of last year. Our league campaign was, you know, hit by injury, so it was, and it really had an effect on us in a lot of the games. But definitely this year we've seen a massive improvement in our performances. Just obviously we didn't get as many wins as we liked. We got an extra win this year compared to last year. We drew with Tipperary as well. We would have been, you know, we would have been thoughtful if we should have got over the line against Tipperary, but we have a couple of other competitive games where we thought we put up better performances against some of the bigger teams in Division 4. Look, it's just trying to develop a team and get a team together. Most counties in Ireland have groups together for 3 and 4 years. In London, you know, some of the times you're only getting a player for 1 year, and that's the challenges that you have. So luckily we've had 15 or 16 of the lads, you know, over the last 2 years, and we're starting to see big improvements there. And that's what it's about. It's about getting the group together and developing them. So we're looking forward to the championship coming up now. And we were happy enough with our league campaign. We're unfortunate with a couple of contact injuries, two broken hands and two knee ligament injuries, which, you know, was disappointing. But at the same time, hey, we're really happy with the group and how they've developed.
Obviously, Galway's the opposition on Saturday. It's a Division 1 team against a Division 4 team. Not many giving you any hope in the tie against the men from the West. But what did London want out of this game? What's your expectation from the game, Michael, on Saturday?
No, listen, we understand that what's ahead of us. Galway were in the All-Ireland final a couple of years ago. Retained their Division 1 status after an injury hit season themselves. But look, we know where we're at. We're looking forward to the game. As we're chatting to the lads about, it's a great opportunity to put a show on for themselves and get a big game like that and welcome a team like Galway to Ruislip. And it's just a great opportunity for all the players and everybody involved, really. So we're going to give it our best shot. We'll put our best foot forward. We're looking to put on a good performance and get stuck into Galway and see where we can get with it. We understand that there's a big difference between a Division 1 team and a Division 4 team, but we know plenty about them and they'll know plenty about us. But we'll look to get stuck into them and see how we get on.
Yeah, and as you say, it's a big occasion, and for the GAA community in London, it's going to be a packed house on Sunday, and it's sort of one of these events on the calendar that is marked out weeks ahead for everybody involved, Michael.
Yeah, there's a lot of work going on, a lot of work by the county board and a lot of work in the background setting up. It's always a big weekend and Ruislip and a big event. So I think the ticket sales are going quite well at the minute. There's a big Galway contingent in London. And there'll be excitement around all the players' families as well coming from Ireland. And it's always a great occasion where families and players can get together. And they'll be looking forward. Hopefully the weather picks up a wee bit. It hasn't been great over here, but I think the weekend's supposed to be a bit better than it is at the minute. And we're looking forward to a big weekend. It should be a great day out in Ruislip on Saturday. We'll be looking forward to it.
Yep. Okay. Just finally, obviously, there's the rest of the championship to come in the Talton Cup. You came very, very close last year, where you I suppose, should have beat Leash, but Leash scored late to progress into the next stage. Obviously, progression and that competition would be seen as key if you're going to continue to develop this group, Michael.
No, that's it. Look, obviously, we're going up against Galway on Saturday, and we're looking to put our best foot forward and try to form to our best ability and make a good mark on the game. And the Talchin Cup has been a great competition for a team like London, where you get, you know, you're guaranteed four championship games in a season. And we were really, really competitive in last year's Talchin Cup, and we were a couple of minutes away from getting a result against Leash last year, where we were up by 2 points in the last couple of minutes, and we ended up Leash getting a couple of late scores to get a draw out of it. So that really gave us a bit of momentum going into this year, and we saw that, you know, we can give these teams a rattle. So it's great experience for the players, and it's just all the hard work that they put in over the year and in the gym and on the football pitch is just great exposure for them to get those games, you know, and that'll be where we're looking to push on if we end up in that competition. And we'll be looking to push on and try and get a result and push for a quarter final, and we'll see where we'll go from there. That'll be a successful campaign for us, you know.
Yeah, well, in the meantime, you've Galway to contend with this weekend. Thanks for joining us, Michael. We wish you, your management team, who of course is under the management of Michael Maher, and indeed all the players involved, particularly those from the Northwest, wish you all the best of luck against Galway at the weekend.
Thanks, Oisin. Great to catch up. Thank you.
Michael Boyle there in conversation with Oisin Kelly. And yeah, with so many players from Donegal and the Northwest involved, there'll be plenty of interest in that game on Saturday in Ruislip as London host Galway. In minor championship action this weekend, there's a busy programme of fixtures. It's the first weekend in the Electric Ireland Ulster Minor Football Championship. Donegal are away to Fermanagh on Saturday at 12 o'clock. The venue for that game is still to be confirmed. Tyrone play host to Down, that's in Dunmoyle, and Derry play Cavan in Owen Beg. The other match is Armagh against Antrim. And in the Celtic Challenge in hurling, Donegal have a home game against Sligo. That's Donegal's under-20s. That match throws in at 12 noon in Convoy. Derry play Waterford and Tyrone play Offaly. And there are plenty of other games as well this weekend on the club scene. And the Senior Hurling League gets underway this weekend. Matches on Friday night. We're going to go for another quick break.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
Yeah, I mentioned there before the break the Senior Hurling League fixtures here in Donegal. First weekend of games. These are on Friday night. Eirua Ballyshannon playing host to Setanta at 6:30. The other matches are all at 8 o'clock. Burt against Carndonagh, McCool's against St Unans, and Buncrana against Dunloe. And also in the football, all county league football matches spread over Saturday and Sunday. Full programme of games through all the divisions. Now, Tyrone senior ladies are back in the Division 2 final for the first time in 25 years this weekend. Back in 1999, they beat Dublin, and then in 2000, Tyrone lost to Mayo in the Division 1 decider. If they are to emulate the success over the Dubs, they'll have to overcome Kildare in this Sunday's final, which is at Croke Park. Both Tyrone and Kildare have already secured promotion back to Division 1, and they are unbeaten in their campaigns, but Kildare may well start as slight favourites by virtue of the fact that they topped the standings ahead of the game on Sunday. Paddy Hunter caught up with Tyrone manager Sean O'Kane.
Great to be back in a national final again. It's been a long time for Tyrone, a long time for you probably as well.
Yeah, both the same. Last time we were there was 2000, 24 years ago. But I must say we're happy with it. We're pleasantly surprised. You know, it was a rebuilding job at the start of the year, and we didn't see we would get to this. So it's bonus territory. We'll have to try and do our best now and see how we get on the final. We had a game against Kildare a few weeks ago too, which could have went anyway as well. And I think what it did show from last year, where we were trenched. That's realistic. We're trenched last year. The draw was a draw. I know Rushing Burnham, a few more done in the centre half and one thing and another. But the reality of it is they're so well S&C'd. The condition of them is they're big and they're strong, and they're probably 2-3 years further down the line in development than we are. So to be coming up against that is a big task. But at the end of the day, they always seem to find a way. So, you know, we try and pick a team which we think will match them to try and take a game to them. And at the end of the day, if we get a result and get silverware, it's brilliant. If we don't, We're in Division 1 next year and we'll learn our trade there and we'll do a lot of learning on that. There'll not be many ones in that, but there'll be a lot of learning and it only can put the county in good stead.
Are you surprised that the way this season has panned out, unbeaten in the league, Sean, getting promotion and getting to a league final? Because when you started off, you had 19 new faces.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. You know, people will probably sit behind a microphone and say, well, we knew this was in it. We didn't. This momentum has grown and I had said with management on the Friday night before we went to Donegal, I says, they're down from senior, there's some still quality players and not the team they were, but I says, we would need to play well. And that, to me, that was the best performance of the year because we're 5 points up and it could have been more. But when we started to rock and started to creak, they took it up again and went again. And, you know, that's a good sign in the team.
Character was evident all season, Sean.
Absolutely, it was, and everybody fighting for places. And we try to give as much game time, whether you're coming from a junior club or coming from a senior club, because we're trying to treat everybody equally. And that's nearly impossible when you're carrying 34, 35 players. But we've tried our best. We had a loved on Sunday. They give other ones a run that to show us how well they're going in training. But we weren't afforded that because we decided we wanted to keep momentum and get a result and to go in and The one in Habit's hard to beat when you go to the finals.
There's no doubt about that. Now, you mentioned Kildare being a good side. Diana Hora has done a great job with them over the past couple of years. They're coming in as a senior team in All-Ireland last year, obviously promotion. They know what it's about.
Absolutely. And you have Cornelius is there as well. Cornelius was in the Dunlow squad that won the All-Ireland Guild with me. And, so Cornelius Brennan. And, you know, they know what it's about. Their strength and conditioning. He's a corner or something. I can't remember her name now, but she's in it. And listen, they are now where we want to be in 2 years. And now where we're here in 2 years or not is another thing. That's just football's fickle like that. But I mean, they say, we're trying to look to the future as well, you know. And if there's no proper underage structure, you know, you need 3 or 4 minors coming every year. You really do. And
you've certainly done that.
Yes, but I'm talking, and we forget all the time about the squad of people that you have is helping us making the whole thing tick. But we also forget of all the development the clubs are doing and county squads are doing, because at the end of the day, that's where them people are coming out of, you know what I mean? And then we have a big county with a lot of good players, and I hope it encourages more players. There was 4 or 5 players this year who, for one reason or another, decided not to commit, and I just hope they believe, because I believe they've been good enough for the squad, and hopefully if they're still there next year, we can strengthen that up again.
Sean, one final point, you know, going back to 1989, 2000, Noel was at your side as a youngster. Now he's part of the backroom team there as well. You're very family orientated. The way you've got this group, they're very family orientated, they're very close knit, very, very tight.
Well, I think, I don't know what's down to me or not. I mean, you say, I think most of them will tell you that the training is first class with Barry, and so it is. You know, Barry is just very, very high quality coach, and he normally does most of it because that's what Barry does. And we just come in and add to it. But yes, we're close knit. We try to be as fair. Sometimes people will get frustrated. That's the name of the game, and there's nobody gets more frustrated that they're not getting time than me. And I, like, at the end of the day, as a manager, we sit down. Like, the manager normally picks a team. We don't do it that way. We sit down and then we have a debate. And if there's a debate and it's a hung election, as the man says, I just go for something and take it. But they're never far wrong. We're well tuned in.
You're hoping to have everybody available. Obviously, a couple of wee knocks and scrapes, but nothing too serious.
No, generally that's it. You know, we go and we'll have no excuses from personnel as players. Like, if we're good enough, we're good enough. If we're not, we're not. We've had a day in Croke Park. We've only 5 of this squad that now is left with experience in Croke Park. So it's a new thing. Kildare have plenty of experience, 2 finals last year and won both. At the end of the day, it's down to whatever team does the best or gets the breaks that'll win, and we're looking forward to it.
That's Tyrone manager Sean O'Kane there speaking to Paddy Hunter. In Ulster LGFA under 16 championship action, Donegal have a home game this Saturday against Antrim, a 2 o'clock throw in down in Ballyshannon there. And at minor level in Ulster, Donegal are also at home against Armagh. That game is on Saturday at 2 o'clock as well, and that's in Sean McCool Park in Balbuffet. And in rugby, finally, there's an important game for OMA this coming Saturday. It's an All-Ireland League 2C. They have their final game of the season at home to Enniscorthy at 2:30. They need a bonus point victory to be sure of avoiding relegation and maintaining their place in senior rugby for another season. A defeat for Oma, and well, they'll need other results to go in their favour. Big game then for Oma at home to Enniscorthy on Saturday. Well, that's about all we have for you on tonight's programme. Hopefully the weather will be kinder than what's been forecast and it doesn't impact too much on the fixtures ahead over the coming days. For now though, thanks to all who contributed to tonight's programme. Thanks to Jimmy Stafford for engineering. From myself, Jeremy Doherty, have a very good evening.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.